I think if we're honest, we'll admit some Christmas gifts are better than others. In Allie's family, they have this custom with their aunts and uncles and cousins to draw names. And the person whose name you draw is the person you buy a present for. Well, I've been married to Allie long enough to now know which individuals I want to draw my name. Because some members of her family just buy the most excellent gifts, most suitable gifts, and others not as much. Well, our passage this morning is all about gift giving. More specifically, it's about prayer, but Jesus uses this analogy of giving good gifts to talk about how we should pray. Now, I think this is a massively encouraging text of Scripture. Because if you've ever imagined God to be a reluctant giver, this passage will set us straight. If you've ever imagined that prayer is like twisting God's arm to get what we want, Jesus corrects this way of thinking. And this is the picture he paints for us. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now I look at that three-pronged point. We ask, we seek, we knock. Is Jesus just saying the same thing to make an emphasis? Or is it possible that Jesus is highlighting the different contexts from which we receive an affirmative answer to our prayers? What do I mean by that? Sometimes we simply ask God for something, and immediately he gives us the thing for which we have asked. Sometimes there are occasions where our prayer is more like a journey. A journey marked by continuous asking, continuous seeking, pursuing what we need. In this instance, the answer to our prayer is not automatic, but the answer to our prayer comes after an intense, prolonged search. There are still other occasions or contexts where it appears that there is something like a locked door between us and what we need from God. In this instance, we're called to knock. And Jesus assures us when we knock, the door will be opened for us. This made me think back to my childhood. When I was 12, I had a paper route, and I delivered the Niagara Falls Review door to door. And every week, I don't even know if they do this anymore, they probably just take it off your credit card, but in those days, you would go collecting. You would have a little pencil crayon case that you'd put your money into, and you'd knock on people's doors. And I remembered learning very soon that when you knocked on the door, depending on who you were visiting, you would have to wait a different amount of time. There were people on my route who weren't very mobile. They had great difficulty getting around their house. And if I wasn't patient, I would just go off to the next house and they would open the door in my absence and I would miss them. And I often think this is what happens in our prayer. We knock on the Lord's door, we're looking for him in prayer, and we don't wait long enough. We rush off to the next thing. Whether we're asking, whether we're seeking, or whether we're knocking, Jesus encourages us in this text by assuring us that we will get an affirmative answer. He encourages us by reminding us that prayer is an effective exercise. Prayer unlocks doors. Prayer changes things. Now, it's possible you're sitting there this morning thinking, this just sounds too good to be true. And maybe you're thinking of all those prayers that you've offered that in your mind have not been answered. Perhaps you're thinking and calling up now your long list of unanswered prayers. You've prayed for a loved one who is sick, only to see them never recover. You've prayed for someone struggling in a difficult situation, and you've not detected that the circumstances have improved. How do we reconcile Jesus' teaching with our vast experience of unanswered prayer? Well, as we read on, it's sobering to learn that not every kind of prayer will be answered in the affirmative. It appears that our prayers, our asking, our seeking, our knocking, our requests need to have a certain trajectory. And when we're on the right trajectory, it is then we find that God is most eager to answer our prayers in the affirmative. Jesus asks, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake?" Jesus says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now the key qualifier here, the key thing that we have to put in our paradigm of prayer and answered prayer, the key qualifier is the phrase "good gifts." The Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Heavenly Father, is interested in giving his children good gifts. And as much as I'd like to think that I always know what's best for Bryn McPhail, I must admit to you this morning that I don't know what is best for Bryn McPhail. As a finite being, I have very little clue as to how my actions and how my circumstances intersect with those of other people. And because of my limited perspective, I am incapable of knowing for certain what constitutes a good gift most of the time. But let's think of God's position in all of this. God is the holy, sovereign, creator and ruler of the universe. And he's uniquely positioned to determine what is best for his creation, for his children. So what seems good to me, and what even might seem good to all of you, might not be good in respect to God's eternal plan. Well, Bryn, do you have an example of that? We have a great example from the Scripture. You might remember Peter, who initially thought that Jesus dying would be a bad thing. Jesus is sharing with his disciples, with his followers, that his days on earth are numbered, that he's going to be turned over and executed and killed. And Peter says, "This isn't going to happen." Peter says, "I'm going to stand up for you." And who wouldn't think that that's a good thing? Who wouldn't think that that's a good response for Peter to want to defend Jesus, to want to keep his master from harm? But what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." God is eager to answer our prayers when our mind is set on his interests. God is eager to answer our prayers where they're on a trajectory of his design. God is eager to give us good gifts all of the time, as often as we ask. But the question is, where are our interests? Are our interests on what we think will help us in the temporal realm? Or are our interests in sync with the Almighty One? I have to be honest, too often my prayers are in a mode where I'm viewing God as merely a dispenser of things. That I have such an acute awareness of God's power and ability to fix things for me that I view Him in this way. My prayers often sound like, Lord, help me to achieve this goal. Lord, help me to bear this burden. Lord, remove this burden from me. Lord, keep me safe from any kind of harm. Lord, help me to reach this destination, and so on. And too often, our subconscious inclination is to treat God as if He was some divine Santa Claus. That if we're good, that if we say the right things, He will give us lots of great things. But the heart of the Christmas story is the account of God not giving us things, but God giving us Himself in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus identifies for us that we should be asking for His Spirit. There's a parallel account of Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 11. There Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" What are the good gifts that God wants to give to us? Much of the time I don't know. Much of the time I'm not sure what God wants to give me, what's best for me. But I'm so grateful that in Luke's account, Jesus names one of these good gifts. He says that one of the things we should pray for is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Indicating to us that when we pray for the Spirit, we will receive it. We will receive Him 100% of the time. So may I ask you this morning, has it ever occurred to you to pray for the Holy Spirit? I have to confess that as I was in my study this morning, it is my normal habit and custom to pray about what's going to happen right here in this space. And it dawned on me after I had prayed for a while and got my wish list off my chest that I hadn't prayed for the very thing that I wanted to implore you to. That I had to pray, Lord, I need your Spirit to help me deliver your word. That my words will roll off backs, will go over heads, it will go past and through our memories. Unless your Spirit is involved, unless your Spirit applies these things to people's hearts. Have you ever prayed? Have you recently prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit? I think for every person here, one of three scenarios applies. And I want us to do a self-inventory here, just quietly where we are. Which of these scenarios applies to you? The first scenario is that we've never ever asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of never asking for the Holy Spirit, we've never received the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've browsed Christianity, we've attended church services, we've read our Bible, we pray on occasion, but asking God to have His Spirit indwell me? Maybe that's not something you've ever done. The second scenario has, you've asked for the Spirit, and you've received the Spirit of God, but that was a long time ago. And you haven't been engaging God's Spirit on a regular basis since then. You're trying to be a decent Christian, but you're relying on information. You're relying on traditions. You're relying on past experiences to get you through. You're sincerely trying hard to do what's right, but your efforts are apart from the Spirit's help. And then there's the third scenario. You've asked for and you've received the Holy Spirit, and you continue to pursue the Spirit of God every single day, that you can't imagine taking another step, making another decision, doing anything apart from the Spirit's help. Maybe that third scenario sounds too difficult, too unrealistic, to always be thinking about God's Spirit, to always be asking, to always be seeking and knocking for the presence of God in your life. Maybe that sounds unrealistic. Maybe you're thinking that's just for really experienced Christians. That's for missionaries. That's for people who run orphanages. That's not just for me. But what does Jesus say? He says, ask, and you'll receive. Seek the Spirit of God, and you'll find Him. Knock, and the door will be open to you. God wants you to have and to experience His Spirit. And the Spirit of God is not an elusive gift. That's hard to find. The Spirit of God is not an occasional gift. It's not a once given gift. But it's a gift that God gives that can be enjoyed immediately, frequently, and for all eternity. Is that something we often think about? I realize that for many of us, Christmas comes with a long list of responsibilities. Comes with a long list of things to do. And with that comes pressure and stress. And I'm mindful that this time of year that there are probably many here in this room that are fighting the stress of Christmas. That there are many in this room who are grieving, having lost someone that you love dearly. Some of us here are just trying to hang on. We're just trying to survive this holiday and all of the challenges that go with it. What I'm suggesting, what Jesus is offering, is that we ought never experience this by ourselves. That we need not tackle these things alone, ever. Jesus is reminding us that He's nearby. And He's nearby not just to give us things and resources, He's nearby to give us Himself. The Spirit of God is not simply some theological concept. It's the thing that makes us tick. It's the thing that gives us passion. It's the thing that breaks our hearts for the thing that breaks God's heart. The Spirit of God is the thing that gives us energy, the thing that gives us endurance, the thing that gives us compassion. The Spirit of God can be received and engaged every single day. And out of all the things I need this Christmas, I need the Spirit of God more than anything. The Spirit of God is the best gift from the best gift giver. And so if I can direct your prayers down a particular trajectory this Christmas, I implore you, ask for the Spirit of God. Search for the Spirit of God. Knock on the door and expect the Spirit of God to come into your life, not simply to redeem you, but to transform you, to give you the character of Christ. It's not just for experienced Christians. It's for all of us. So ask, seek, knock, And you will receive the very best gift from the very best gift giver. Amen.